Friends, today we are here to talk with a fellow member at Radnor Meeting, Winifred Hope, about climate change and the value of empathy and how that factors into it, how important it is for us to move forward. And Winnie, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yes, as Bert said, I'm a member of Radnor Meeting. I work on the Religious Education Committee, and I am involved in counseling people for conscientious objection. And when I'm not at Radnor Meeting, I'm retired, but I have been a special education teacher and a social worker, mainly working with children with special needs.
Wonderful. I can see through that your experience and the work that you do that empathy must be a key sensibility, a factor in the work you do to enable it, or maybe even before the work, a value that you cultivated that brought you to that work. And this, we feel, is an important value with working to stop climate change, to undo some of the effects of climate change. Do you have thoughts about that?
I do. I think that empathy encompasses empathy for many people and also for other living creatures. And I feel that climate change has affected a lot of these people and creatures. I think in our discussions earlier, we talked about how much the United States contributes to greenhouse gases by our overconsumption of petroleum, fossil fuels, and other countries are feeling the effects of climate change far more than we are. Places in Africa and South Asia are having enormous floods, heat waves, as well as the floods on the flip side of it, shortages of water and not safe water. Understand the feelings that those people have when they have to be displaced and cope with all kinds of changes, the flooding as well as the water shortages. And having worked with children with special needs, I can say that the biggest single thing that they need is a routine. And that's hard enough for families that are struggling on a subsistence living to offer these children with special needs. But when they're disrupted and have to be in a new place, it's almost impossible. And then it just makes it even more difficult for the families to cope. We have an obligation to help them look for ways to have clean water and to have sustainable energy and with alternative energies to fossil fuels that can help them cope with climate change, can help them keep water, keep irrigation systems going, have clean water for their children, for their own drinking water. What else do I want to say? We just have a moral obligation. I think we need to get in the forefront of our mind that climate change is not just happening in our rivers and floods off and on in Northeast United States, where it isn't happening that much, but we need to keep in mind what is happening around the world.
We here in Southeast Pennsylvania kind of live in a sweet spot of climate that whatever is coming is a little later in getting to us here. What has been hitting the Latin America, Central America, the Sahara, the India, Bangladesh, so many countries have been devastated by it. And I am thinking also now, as you mentioned, your work with drought resistance and how today we are in a war against Iran that, for as much as many different people say, give different reasons, but we have to know that a part of that, a large part of that, is oil, fossil fuel that drives our economy. And I'm thinking of your work with drought resistance. That is also a point of empathy for those who might be called up to fight in a war that they may not believe in.
Absolutely. And I have just been getting messages from the Center of Conscience and War that their phone is ringing off the hook, that they can't even answer all the calls that they are getting for people who are in the service and now want to declare themselves as conscientious objectors, which is possible, but it's harder to do because they have already said that they were willing to serve and to be ready to go to war. But this is a war they don't believe in.
And it was a war that did not have the correct lead up to it, that it was called basically overnight. And those who have not been prepared for it, who may have had the thought that they would not want to do it, are kind of behind the eight ball. And you are able to reach out to them or be there for them if they come to you.
Yes, all of the above. It's hard for the service people that don't want to be here. It's certainly hard for the Iranians who may not have had the kind of government that we agree with, but it's not our job to export democracy across the world. It's our job to look at democracy here in the United States.
Yes, that's kind of a secondary feature of climate change, as climate change is driven by over-reliance on fossil fuels and the emissions, the CO2 emissions that go into our atmosphere that cause global warming. And we are right in the teeth of it, going for more oil. And this is a factor of it that it causes wars over scarce resources. And oil is becoming more of a scarce resource. And where we were talking a moment before about those who are displaced by the effects of climate change, we are seeing them at our borders. People coming from Central America, from Latin America, because they cannot raise the food to feed their families there because their climate has been degraded.
Right. And their forest, their rainforests have been degraded, their water sources have been polluted, and yet we're not showing empathy to them about what their needs are, about not necessarily having everybody come here, but to help them in their own countries and to stop our own polluting of the air and greenhouse gas emissions, so that and help them also get some sustainable resources, sustainable energy resources.
Yes, at not too many years ago, we had programs to help to countries that are in dire need of such help. And most of those have been just terminated, cut off. Aid to families living there, food.
Right. Yeah. And a big concern that I have is that when we are not showing empathy to them, then they are becoming hardened and children are not developing empathy when they don't feel listened to and they don't have their needs met. And especially when they've seen needs cut off abruptly, they can then become very angry and that can lead to more disruption in the world.
Yes. And we wonder sometimes, how did it start? It seems like this is how it does start, with children whose resources, how they have basically been shunted aside. And I would think that this is from the work that you have done with children would be a key to understanding how this is a not immediately recognized, but a real effect of it.
Absolutely. Empathy develops at an early age and over time. It's not just, you just don't get it all of a sudden. You need to have people be showing it to you, and not just your own family, because most families do show empathy, but the community and the organizations at large. And as I said, when things are cut off abruptly, when children are hungry all the time, it affects them cognitively, it affects their brain development, and it affects their emotional development. And all of that can be stunted, and really getting a lack of empathy and a lack of caring for other human beings that can lead to more violence.
Yeah, what happens as we talk about the deterioration of our resources in this world, we talk about the oceans rising, we talk about the salinity encroaching on the areas close to the ocean, talk about the change of the temperatures getting hotter such that food, crops are no longer growing the way they used to, and it comes down to humans not being able to survive, and we seem to have empathy kind of squashed a little bit in our daily press and our media. When we talk about climate change, we're very self-focused on what is happening here, but it's happening all over the place, and we don't seem to have the strong connection to other places that are having major difficulties, since we are using way more resources, fossil fuel resources, than most any other part of the world. That this is not about shame, but it's about changing. Looking for motivations to change what we do, that would seem a major modification for us to maintain a standard of living without burning fossil fuels.
Yes, and I think it's doable. And I think we know we have the technology to be using alternative energy. I also want to point out it's not just humans that we need empathy for and that are being affected by climate change. Animals and plants are being directly affected. Bart, you talked about crops before. And you and I had talked earlier about some examples of some massive heat waves, one that happened here in the United States in the Pacific Northwest in 2021. It became dramatically hot within a day, and clams and oysters just baked in their shells. They didn't have time to dig down into where it was cooler, into the sand where it was still breathable for them. And some birds just died on rooftops because it was so hot, or died trying to plunge down to the ground too fast to get away from the heat. And another example was in 2022 in India, in Gujarati, some birds dehydrated in the sky and just fell out of the sky. They were so dehydrated. And I think we need to think about that as well.
I totally agree. This is, our empathy should not just be for humans. In fact, not just for humans close to us, but humans at a distance, and to have a sense of association with them, and for the animals that may be suffering from what we're doing, driving vehicles that get 15 or 20 miles to the gallon. Too, as we go about our car automobile-based transportation, where we heat with natural gas, for instance. These can be electric if we had the basis for supporting that, which would require a larger investment. And a larger investment would require more help, say, at the level of, I don't know, major industry, for somebody that's looking beyond the most recent quarter for being able to make those changes.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think we need to look at the power of the humans beings themselves. And in Africa, in India, and South America, I think there are many people with good ideas, many indigenous people in this country and other countries that have known how to conserve energy for centuries. And we need to pay attention to them.
I agree. And one of the things that I'm thinking about when you talk about the power of the individuals is that through your work with draft resistance, one of the things that I admire about it is that basically you are empowering an individual to make their, to see their own mind, to see their own spiritual direction, and to give voice to it and to act on it rather than just following a crowd, because right now that would lead them into danger.
Yes, it definitely would. And you are right. I have to help them see what they want to themselves. I cannot write the letter for them. I cannot tell them what they have to think. I can only lead them in directions about what their thinking is, but also to let them know what, if the draft would ever come back, what the draft board questions might be for them.
That's an interesting parallel with where we are in climate change and resisting climate change as resisting a draft, where you can only lead someone to their own mind, to have their own cathartic vision of what it is to, that they have to do. I mean, and to teach the options that they might have at this time.
Yeah, absolutely.
But empathy is important with making that connection in a way that's not just rote. This is seems to be how you get a person who is truly motivated, is that that sense of empathy that they have for someone else, and they don't feel individual, all by themselves, trapped, and therefore just have to follow where the crowd is going.
Yes, that's very much true. And having a sense that we've said just about everything we want to say, but I do want to emphasize that empathy is just so important to making changes in our views of climate change and what we need to do. If we don't have empathy for other living creatures, human beings and others, we aren't going to have the motivation to make the changes.
Winnie, I want to thank you for being with us and all the friends who might be looking in on us here, that I think that you have key insights about empathy and how that is such an important characteristic that we have to follow our hearts on.
Thank you.
And thank you. We appreciate you being here today.